All right. Welcome to another episode of Why Not You. This is your host, D. Wells, and today I am joined by Mr. Story Man, Dr. Washington, in this third and final episode of this mini-series. And I'm just glad I had the honor and privilege to talk with Dr. Washington, who loves serving, as y'all can tell. Just join me in this episode as we get ready to take it home. Let's go.
You know, can have that alone time to connect with God, to connect to connect with themselves,
right?
You know, and to see what's going on.
You need that reflection time.
I
remember listening to John Maxwell. He talked about sometimes you just need to give yourself a time out.
Yeah. Yep, I know that too. Yeah.
So how important is it for you as far as like just personal development and investing in yourselves?
It kind of like going along the lines of what I was saying, mm-hmm. you know, what you feed will grow.
That's right.
And what you starve will die.
Mm-hmm.
So for personal, you know, for personal development, you know, you want to be able to find things that's going to help you to grow. Now, a lot of times people get a lot of self-help books on different things like that. And that's both good and bad, because a lot of times it's like eating fish. You got to watch out for the bones, right? Watch out for the bones, because you got to be mindful of what you're eating or what you're watching, because it can really affect you,
right?
And so that personal development. Now the story of pops into mind. I was working with this one couple, and they came in. It was all tense.
Yeah,
it was all tense. You know, like this. I mean, they were just like it was just really tense, right? And so, at that time, I says, "Okay, what I want you to do, I want you, the husband, to treat his wife like treat your wife like she's number one, and ask the wife to treat her husband like he's number one."
Yeah,
you know. And there's different techniques that I used. And so, and it was amazing. Just in one session, when they came back, it was different in one session,
wow.
Right? So, which was really powerful in one session. Mm-hmm. They came back the next session, still doing the same thing, you know, third, fourth, maybe the fifth or sixth came back, and it was like, oh my goodness. You know, she was fit to be tied. Her husband couldn't do anything right, you know. I was like, oh my goodness. What happened? Yeah, it's a shame, right? But when you're counseling and you're not counseling, you know, with your own strength, you're under you got God's spirit inside of you like this. So, you know, I just start asking, you know, all right, you know, what I asked her, what has she been doing? You know, mm-hmm. I said, I need to talk to her. And automatically I had to send him out the room because he was like a trigger, you know, like yes. He could, you know, she look at him like this, you know, like this. I say, you go out, let me take care of this, you know. And I'm praying, Lord, help me to figure out what's going on, because I could see that she snapped some chains like lean, right. Like Legion, you know.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, talking to her, and she didn't work, and she was a part of this women's group, a book reading group at church.
Got it.
Like this.
Oh, snaps.
Right. I said. I said. Okay. I said. I said. Ask her what book is she reading? You know what I'm saying? She said the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God placed it on my heart and say, okay. What is it talking about? Right.
Right.
He says talking about four married couples. Right. And the focus is in on how well the husband is treating their wife. Right. So I said, okay, this is what's going to take place. Are you listening? So you're going to tell your sisters at the book Christian book club that you're not going to read that book. You're not going to read that book. You know, you need to put that book down. Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, it's not helping. Right. Like this. And so she was a good client. And so she stopped. She stopped. She stopped with the book. Next week when they came in, you know, we're back on track.
Right.
You see. So the ask your question like development, you know, personal development. Yes. Being able to read things and find books, biblically based books that are helpful. That's going to be helpful. And to ask God for prayers and selecting those books. And I never was a reader of like those fiction novels. Uh-huh. Right. Until, you know, I start seeing this pattern, like, because they got some pretty graphic stuff in those novels, man.
Right.
You know, and that's like, man, this is like softcore porn, you know. Yeah. And so it's just like, so I encourage people to, you know, stay, because people can read those big books and go right. through it. And, you know, they can be taking all those lust hits in and be intoxicated with that lust. Right. And, you know, it's like, yeah. So, okay. But let me give you this. Okay. Personal development. Being able to like invest in yourself as far as, getting your education. And my grandmother told me something, I think I might've wrote this down somewhere. Mm-hmm. My grandmother, before I left off for college, she says, son, you make sure you get your education. She says, because of the color of your skin, people are going to try to take things away from you. And what you put between your left ear and your right ear, nobody can take that away from you, right? And so that was her pep talk and indirectly about personal development. You know, you get it inside of you, nobody can take that away from you. Mm-hmm. And so I took that to heart. Went to school, got one degree, another degree, you know,
right.
multiple, you know, multiple degrees. And my grandmother was so right. And I like to say, it doesn't have to be because of the color of your skin. Mm. You know, it's going to be life. People are going to try to take things away from you. Doesn't make a difference if you're male or female, you know, it's just going to happen, but that's so true. And so the number one thing you want in your personal development is your spiritual development, right? And then, you know, going to school and making yourself marketable, right? Now, and when you go to school, you want to go to school for God. You don't necessarily have to go to a Christian college, but the Bible says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as you're working for the Lord and not for man. So if there are people who are listening and going to school and they want to be this big time, you know, engineer, or they want to be this big time attorney, whatever it may be, they want to make sure that they're doing that for the Lord, because it's going to be so vital. Mm-hmm. And so you make yourself to the point where you get yourself in line in life where you want to make sure that you are more valuable to them than they are to you, you know, and that's pretty powerful. And usually we are set up to say, okay, when I grow up, I'm going to get my education and then I'm going to go work for this person or work for this company. But once again, years ago, I heard says, don't say, who are you going to work for? You say, who's going to work for you?
Right.
You see, who's going to work for you? Mm-hmm. You see that paradigm shift inside of that?
Yeah.
And so you make yourself and your personal development, you're thinking about, okay, how am I going to make a living and who am I going to get to work, you know, for me, you see? And then you go, like I would go to, you know, invest in yourself. You can, you know, kind of direct with God's help where you want to go, where he wants to place you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've made a lot more money, you know, in their position and working my way up. And it's like, no, because you don't ever want to make it about the money. You start chasing money, you're gonna keep chasing money.
Right.
You see?
Yeah.
You trust in God, you put him first, and you give of your offering, and you give from the first fruits, and you live for him, seek the kingdom first and his righteousness. if he's a father, he's going to take care of me. That's right. He's going to take care of us, right? So I could take, you know, this lesser paying job, if you will, that I enjoyed, mm-hmm. that I enjoyed, then trying to, you know, get the next, you know, the next promotion. That's so, right. Yeah. So to answer your question, you know, being able to invest in yourself, mm-hmm. you see, and number one, always going to be your identity in Christ. The moment you lose that, you get sucked in the vacuum of life, where they say, this is how you define your success, mm-hmm. and you can find, you will go through that. And you see people all the time, as we talked earlier, mm-hmm. they thought being famous was going to bring them, you know, bring them success, right?
Yeah, like that internal peace or that joy, right. That to fill that void that they had on the inside.
Right. And people always, you know, they're always trying to control you. And Satan is always trying to, you know, entice you is a word.
You're right.
Entice you with fame, entice you with popularity. You know, that's why you got all these, you know, people blowing up on TikTok. They're doing these crazy things and on YouTube and stuff, and people losing their lives, you know, because they trying, you know, it's why are they doing that? You know, because mm-hmm. They want to be recognized. Right. But here's the deal, is that you can obtain all of that and still be emotionally, spiritually, mm-hmm. psychologically bankrupt.
Yeah.
Right.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, you can.
Feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And see, I learned that years ago. Like I always refer back to growing up on the streets. I say it was the wrong side of the road, the wrong side of the street, but it was the best one for me. Mm-hmm. Because there you learn how to survive. You learn how to read people, right? You can see how you learn how to hustle. You can learn, you know, how not to be hustled.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not encouraging that lifestyle. But what I am encouraging is for you to pay attention to the lessons that God has given you. Look mm-hmm. at the things you want to be, you know, mm-hmm. look how you want to be, how God wants you to be, and how the things that you don't want to be. Just like my father is probably my number one example of how I did not want to be. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be an alcoholic. I didn't want to be abusive, you know. I didn't want to use, you know, profanity. So I saw that, and I used that as an example how I do not want to be. So you can look at the environment where you are at, and you could grow. You can grow from that, because God is everywhere, and He knows the things that you're going to know the things that you're going to experience. Mm-hmm. And so it was easy for me. But I did get blindsided several times by things, you know, because of not working on myself, you know, because I'm talking about years before I became a counselor. I could easily, you know, see how things are, and certain things I were able to, you know, pick up on. Right. And how people who would have money would want to invest in you. And the reason why they want to invest in you is because they can have power and a say over your life. Mm-hmm. You see, and I learned that like climbing the ladder, because I told you I was on a boxing circuit, you know. And so I'm out there, and God blessed me to do really good, because, you know, in the street life, you know, you have to be able to hold your own. You just have to be able to hold your own. Did I tell you about when I was in England? I tell you that?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. You know, and I came back, mom and dad divorced, and after 3 years in England, and I came back talking proper in the hood. Ooh, it was bad, you know, and, girls made fun of me. I was at a basketball game sitting on the bleachers. eating the bag of crisp, but they're chips, right? Yeah. And so I'm sitting there and my back is really straight, you know, sitting on bleachers, you know, mm-hmm. like there was something behind. And yeah. I'm taking one chip at a time and eating it properly with my little finger up. No, I'm just joking. Yeah. Right. And then there's three girls. They were African American too. And they say, "Hey, blank." They use the N word, say, "What's wrong with your back?" And I'm like, "Pardon me?" It was rough. And my cousins that were in the streets and pretty wise to the street life, mm-hmm. One cousin would take my brother and I in the backyard. He would get on his knees and he'd say, "Put him up, get ready." And he would blast us. He hit us so hard that you would fall down to the ground. And he said, "Get up and you better not cry. Get up, you better not cry." And so I couldn't understand, you know, mm-hmm. what he was doing. He said, This is the hood we live in. And yeah. you gotta be able to defend yourself like this, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And so I didn't know anything about fighting, you know, and I was once again 13 or 14, and we just grew up in a military community over in England and mm-hmm. you know, different places. It was pretty controlled, but you get the streets is different. So anyway, long story short, I freaked out because this one guy who was a bully was suffocating me. He had me in a headlock and my face was on his skin as he had me in a headlock. And I just freaked out and just started throwing punches and ended up knocking him to the ground. But I took off running like a bullet, ran over to my grandmother's house. And you know, and then Monday came around and I didn't want to go to school, but end up going to school. And on the way to school, people are saying, "Hey, we heard you beat up this person, you know, the bully," mm-hmm. you know, like this. And they're cheering. I said, "Ain't nothing to cheer about. I'm walking a death march going to this bus stop." Mm-hmm. And I got to the bus stop. He was there. He didn't say anything to me. Right. And so then I learned, you know, that's, you know, what you have to do. And so I became, you know, good at fighting, getting in trouble, picking fights and, you know, bad. Right. So now I'm in boxing, you know, so now, you know, go and, you know, boxing. And so I have that, you know, mentality in me, you know, you had fight and then you grew up. I grew up with an abusive father. So you didn't really have you had fears, but your fears were different. You know, right. It wasn't fear about fighting, you know, I fought with rage too, you know, cause there's a lot of rage cause I hadn't had time to, you know, go to counseling and process all this stuff, you know, that I pent up in me. And so that's why I recommend everybody go to counseling. Everybody go to counseling. Husbands, wives go to counseling. Even when I was a counselor, my wife and I, we would go to counseling. And that's embarrassing, Derek, when you go to a counselor and they say, "What's your profession?" You say, "Oh,
right,
counselor." I'm a counselor, right? But a good counselor needs counseling.
Yeah.
You see.
Yeah.
And so absolutely. That's why I encourage everybody listen. I don't care if a male, female, married, single, I don't care. You go to some Christian counseling. You go. You just get in there and you know, the number one thing that you want to talk about when you go into counseling. Let me see if you guys have been good listeners. All right. The number one thing that you talk about in counseling are the things you don't want to talk about. Yeah. See that? Things you don't want to talk about. And that's what I tell people. People will say, you know, they still want to know if I'm counseling. I say, no, you know, I'm not, you know, counseling. But when you go to counseling, you know, let me tell you, this is what you talk about. Okay. And sometimes it blows a counselor's mind. They come in there and say, "Hey, I got some stuff going on. This is stuff that's going on." And they come out with the things they want to talk about, right? And it blows the therapist away because a therapist likes to hopscotch, do 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 do, you know, like this, bump, and never really get to, you know, if they do, it takes a while for them to get there, right? Mm-hmm. And so therefore you can cut through a lot of it. And it's like, hey, this is what's going on. You put it all on a table, you know, you boom, boom, you process it, boom, boom, boom. So everybody goes, you know, into counseling. Like my wife and I, we would go to counseling and stuff. And then some, and so we go down, things are going good. And then all of a sudden she'll say something to me like, I think we need to go back to counseling. I'm like, what am I missing? What I need to do? Like this. So I straighten up and fly right, you know? So I recommend, you know, I recommend that everybody go into counseling. So I saw this flyer. Boom. I went over there. Just, hey, let me try my hand at boxing, you know? So I go in there, boxing, and get a trainer. Boom. You know, start going just on weekends, fly, not flying, didn't fly, start off flying different places, but we drive. I drive, go, fight, win a trophy, you know, come back home, put it up on the shelf, go to work, right? Boom. You know, after work, train, boom, boom. So nobody really knew that I was doing that, you know. But God was blessing me to win championship after championship, and they had like only one Armed Forces Network. And people couldn't tell it was me. They would say my name, but I had headgear on anytime I was there. And so people would say, hey, you know, you have a twin brother here named Harry Washington. I was like, no, I don't have a twin brother. And I didn't say anything because that was something that I just wanted to do, you know, for fun. It was my sport, right? So then what starts happening, or what happened, was there was a major fight that was coming up. And I think it was in Spain, if I'm not, Barcelona. I don't know. But anyway, I just say, well, I can't afford to go 3 or 4 days, you know, so that's okay. I'm not going to go and fight, you know. I don't have the money to go for, you know, hotels and different things like that. So right. I'll just wait till another fight is closer, right? Mm-hmm. And so this one guy, the word got out. Right. So I get pulled into the office with two officers, and they say, hey, we heard that there's a fight that's coming up and you don't have the, you know, money to go. And I said, oh, yeah, but that's fine. You know, I'm 120% sure it's no problem. There's fights are going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. I can go that. I just drive there, you know, like this. So what they did is they gave me an envelope, and it was filled with money. And they said, here. And I said, no, it's okay. Like, and so they gave me a direct order, you know, we're giving you a direct order. You have to take this, right? So I took it. Well, and I left out the office, closed the door, and I just laid my head back up against the wall, and everything changed because no longer was I just fighting for me for sport or recreation. Now I have, you know, the pressure of my squadron, the pressure of being an Air Force guy fighting, you know, against Army guys and stuff like that, right? So I had all that pressure on. So I was blessed to go, and I was blessed to either get first or second. I can't remember. I don't know if it's silver or gold. I don't remember. But I do remember this, that after that fight, I was done. Because I didn't want anybody dangling any money over me, right? And I just didn't like that. It just didn't feel good. So I came back and I said, That's it. You know, I'm not fighting. Because they can't make you fight. You know, right. They didn't force you to fight. They didn't encourage you to fight in the first place. And so, boom, I said, no, I retire. And I retired for a few months until I got a message from the United, from the U.S. I was over in Germany. I got a message from the U.S. and the Air Force boxing team. And so, make a long story short, I said, okay, I wanted to go back there because I knew they had a lot of great competition, more than they had on the European circuit at this time. So I went back, and I wanted to prove to myself that I was a pretty decent competitor. So went back and was able to get two golds and a silver. I fought three times over there and was able to win those awards or those prizes. And then but during that process, the same thing happened. one night, something came underneath my door and I woke up and I opened it up and it was an envelope of money.
Wow.
Money, money, money. Right. So I go to the gym the next morning. There's two trainers there that have been, they've been working with me, working with me, working with me. And I asked them, hey, where did this money come from? And they say, don't ask questions. Don't ask questions. Just take the money. Right. So that, you know, once again, when people get funny with money, you know, you just got to, no, God is going to provide. That's why you got to, God is going to provide for all my needs.
Right.
That's what he promised. He's a father. And so that's his promise. And so things kind of change. And then this one of the fights came up. One of the fights came up. One of the three fights came up. So I'm fighting. Boom, boom, boom. Then you sit down in the ring. You sit down in your quarter 50 seconds and jumps in this Hispanic guy. And he's talking to me. And I, number one, I don't know who this guy is. Number two, he's Spanish and he has a thick accent and he's talking really fast. And I'm like, who is this guy? I can't understand who he's, who this guy is. But that was the money man. That was the money man. And we're fighting in this Coliseum or where the San Antonio Spurs played. I forgot what the name of that was. Uh-huh. It's been so many years ago. And so I was like, okay, so second round, third round, he did that fight over. Not and I can't even celebrate, you know, because I'm trying to figure out what, you know, what was he doing. He, you know, he never came in the gym. All the weeks I was training, those two guys were there. They were on the outside, he was on the inside. So I had another major fight coming up. And I told those guys were, hey, say, hey, you know, that wasn't cool, right? And I said, you guys have been working with me. You know, and this guy just jumps in the ring, you know, because he, for whatever reason, he wants to do it for show or be on TV, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So I say, let me tell you this. I said, if that's going to happen again, I'm not fighting, you know, I'm out. And I said, you can go and tell him that.
Yeah.
Right. So they knew I was serious. So they went and they told him. So the next fight, he was outside the ring. And that other guys, one of the other guys, they were inside of the ring. Cool. So I say that you, when your personal development, whether it's personal development, spiritual, whatever may be, ever may be, you want to make yourself valuable by staying true to you and the God who created you.
Right.
Okay. Because it's up to him to fight your battles. And it's up to him to navigate you through your life as you stay on that path that he wants you to stay on. And when you fall, because you will fall, you will trip, you will mess up, you know, it's like, just like boxing.
Right.
And one of the things I attribute to being a heavyweight and a super heavyweight champion was that I read this book. They asked this, it might have even been to Muhammad Ali. He said, how are you so successful? He said, well, after every round, I would look, I would be tired. I would look over to the ring. I look over the ring. I see the other guy and I knew he was tired too. He said, but I made up in my mind that I'm going to get back up and fight one more round. I fight that round. I made up in my mind. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to fight that round. Right. And that's how I became a champion. So I had that in my mind and my spirit. And that served me well. Most importantly, it served me well spiritually, because you fall down, you get back up.
That's right.
Fight another. You fall, you get back up. You fall because you can never, Bible says you can't run the race if you don't run. If you don't run the race, you can't race.
At this point in your life, how would you define success?
Okay. Every time I hear that word success, and hopefully people listening will get that, is like, success is found inside of Christ. Failure is found anywhere outside of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so that's been my motto. And something I lived by for so many years, and I don't know anything else that will work. But if we're talking about, because most people look at success in different ways,
and I'm not just talking about like just business success or endeavoring success, but I'm just talking about like this personal success for you as far as living a life that Christ wanted you to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And with that, thank you for clarifying that. With that being said, I look at number one, my relationship with him. Okay. And it's the strongest that it's ever been. And if I talk to you next week, it should be stronger. Mm-hmm. You see, why? Because of those things, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually on that chart. Right. Okay. I do those things. Growth takes place. Growth takes place. I don't know how many times I ask people, I say, are you stronger than you are this month than you were last month? They say, I don't know. I feel kind of the same. No, no, no. You should know. You're doing the things that you, just like you say, you're doing your reps. Mm-hmm. Right. I love that. You're doing your reps. You know, strength is going to take place. You know, every day you're doing your reps like you're supposed to. You're going to get that. And so you do that. And it's a conscious contact. It's something that, like with journaling, helps you out. All these things I talk about, that helps you, right?
Right.
So look at that. Then I look at my relationship, my number one relationship, the ministry of family. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife, right? So I look to make sure that I am available for her, like I said earlier, right? And that not only my spiritual life is stronger than it's ever been, my marriage needs to be stronger this week than it was last week, mm-hmm. stronger this year than it was last year. Right. But that takes a concentrated effort, you see. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you determine success. Ask your parents. I mean, ask your children, how are you doing? Ask your spouse, how you're doing? That's one of the videos that I shot this morning. Yeah. It's like, you know, ask, you know, you want to know. I ask, hey, baby, are you feeling neglected? Mm-hmm. Nope. You know, are you feeling love? Yep. Is there anything you could do? I hate it when I ask that question. Yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way. But if there's things that's causing her stress, you know, it's just like, man, I haven't been able to get the dishes today. Right. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Stop. You know, the video online, stop writing books, boom, you know, help her, you know, you ask her, you know, boom, you know, I do that to her, say, hey, you got some time today. I want you to help me organize some, you know, something. You got to find success as being able to find your strengths and your weaknesses. So I got to make sure that relationship is, you know, like squared away, because that is where success is being able to communicate, take care of what God has blessed you with. And so if you want to look at the spiritual things, those are the things that are important, because that's physical and it's tangible as well. And so now if you look at financially, and some people have a disagreement with this. But once again, just like how God works in people's life, they don't believe that God works that way. Okay, they don't believe that God works that way. Well, I believe that God works, you know, this way in my life, and I can see it. And I'm not like trying to force anyone to think, you know, this way. Right. But I do know what the scripture teaches. Mm-hmm. Like, say, for instance, this one. It's like years ago, ooh, man. Almost maybe 40 years ago, when I was married before, was like, I was in the military, just joined the military about a year. My wife at the time, she was due. And then having a hard time paying the bills, we was have to get on WIC. You know, that's sad. You're in the military, you have to get assistance, you know. And so we would get like assistance, get the food stamps and things like that, get formula and different things like that. And then what happened was that when it came time for Christmas time, you didn't have any money, but they had this organization that would donate used toys, and they would wrap them up. And so I would go, and this was in early 80s. He was born in 80. So this is early 80s. And so I would go to this and get gifts mm-hmm. put underneath the tree for my son. He opened up used gifts and he was excited, you know. Yeah. But as a dad, you feel bad that you can't buy your son, you know, new gifts. Right. So anyway, there was a theme that was going on. I was hearing in my head and hearing in lessons about how God wants you put him first, even your financial things. You take God's money off of the top. Mm-hmm. Back in the old times, they, you know, in the Old Testament, it talked about giving a tenth, right? And so that's what I heard, that you should give God a tenth of not what's left over, but straight off the top,
right?
Even before taxes, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that's not the scriptural way of giving now. It says give as you prosper. But that's a rule that I've been using for since the early early 80s. Uh-huh. Because I, once again, you keep hearing these lessons. And to me, that's God pressing on you. You know, just like I told you, like when I woke up, you know, I didn't wake myself up. I didn't put that tune in my head, right. You know. God help me, you know, tune got in my head. And that's just the way that I've been living, close to God. That's mm-hmm. what happens. The closer you get, the more he reveals things to you. So now what happens is, now, so I'm like, all right, already, God, all right, this is what I'm going to do. Off the top, boom, 10%. Now, mind you, you're barely skirting by to pay your bills, right? I said, okay, that's what we're going to do. You know, first Sunday come up, boom. Second Sunday come up, boom, you know, just straight off the top. However I was doing it, right? And I was like, okay, I'm sitting down with my pen and my checkbook. Back then I paid bills. So I write the bills out, boom, 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 you know, boom. Just write about, boom. I'm like, okay, God, now what are we going to do? All the money is gone. But you look at the checkbook and it says you have some money left over. I was like, no, I must have messed up, right? So you go through all your monthly bills and, you know, you find out you didn't mess up, right? You say, whoa, you know, how did that happen, right? Then you do it again. Whoa. How did that happen? Then you start thinking about stories that God has left down. How with a few loaves of bread and a few fish that he went and he fed 5,000 people. And by the time everyone ate, there was 12 baskets of leftovers, right? Isn't that what the word says?
Yeah.
Isn't that word? So God is saying, put your trust in me. Don't put your trust in money. You put your trust in me. You see, right? And so when you do that and you see how God blesses you, you don't do it to get ahead. You do it to be obedient and knowing that your father is going to take you, because Jesus said, hey, which one of you, if your father was hungry, I mean, if your child was hungry, that you would give him a snake or scorpion or a rock, right? He used those three examples. And they're like, no, we wouldn't do that. So Jesus' response to them was, well, if you, being earthly fathers, know how to give good gifts, just think how much more your heavenly father, he knows how to give good gifts, right?
Yeah.
So you either believe it or you don't, right? And the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the kids begging for food. Jesus says, I didn't come just to give you life. I came to give you life more abundantly. Mm. Right? Isn't that what the word teaches? Right.
Yep.
Okay. So either we believe it or we don't. You see? And that's based upon growing, growing, growing. So I can fast forward to today, and I can say that God has met all of my needs.
Nice.
Mentally,
mm-hmm.
mostly, emotionally, financially, right?
Right.
And so, but one thing that sticks in my mind is I never forgot what it was like getting used toys, buying YouTube toys for my kids. I've never had to do that again, and I've never forgotten that. And like I said, that happened in the early 80s, and here it is, 2023. But every Christmas, my wife and I, we get a shopping cart. She gets one, I get one. And we go through the store, and we fill those carts up, right? And we find kids and organizations to donate those to.
Nice.
Because you don't ever want to forget where you came from.
Right.
You don't want how God has been so good. He's a good God, you know, so you don't ever want to forget, you know, all the things from the very beginning.
That's right.
Yeah. So God is good. And so I don't want for anything. If the one thing I want for is people to live for Jesus, have their identity in Jesus, because that's the greatest tragedy and travesty, is not to go through life and to miss living for the Savior. And most importantly, losing their soul and living away from him for eternity in his name.
Yeah.
Yep. That's all it. Right. Any more questions, my brother?
That is it. That is it. Man, I appreciate your time.
All right, man. You got me all emotional. You got me all emotional now. Yeah. Because it's real. You know, Jesus is real. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesus is real. And I just encourage people, just, you know, stop, listen to everybody else, pick up, you know, God's word, you know, do the growth spiritually, do the things that are recommended. Mm-hmm. Anything comes up, you know, my email address is on my video link. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Can I say a prayer? A word of prayer, brother? Okay. Yep. Father God, thank you so very much. What a blessing it is to run into my old friend, Derek. And we go way back. And so I'm just thankful that you allowed our path to cross. And I'm thankful for your divine connection that we are able to connect again and talk about the same thing, about same things. And that's about you and how we can better our lives with you and for you. Not only our lives, but how we could better the lives of others. And Father, we're using modern technology that you bless. And we know, I know that I've been guilty of not using it the way I should be using it. And so I'm thankful that you bless me to be able to use it in a positive way, in a godly way, and be able to share this with Derek, and not only just Derek, but those who will be listening. And you know everyone who's going to be listening, God. And so just pray that they will be blessed, not with me and my accomplishments, but with you. Because I know that without you, I am nothing. Because that's what Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You're just a bunch of dead branches only to be used for firewood. And so we're thankful that we are somebody inside of you. Bless Derek and his family. Bless those who are around him. Keep him safe out there in the police force. Because we know that it's a very difficult job, and we know that Satan has been busy and causing a lot of animosity and hatred and dysfunction. But we pray that you keep him safe and the officers safe as well. And we pray that you'll touch both the officers' hearts, because we know that there's things that's happening in the news where they're tired and they tap into their flesh and they harm people. But we know it's on the other side as well, that people get aggravated and they develop that hatred inside, and they want to retaliate, and they don't want to listen to authority or be under any authority. So the only thing we can do is pray and be the light that you want us to be for this dark world. We ask all of this in the greatest name that's ever walked to the face of the earth, who is sitting right now at your right hand, God. It's in his holy name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Cool. All right, my brother.
All right. Thank you. I love, love you. You, Doc.
Okay, you too, man.
Well, I want to thank Dr. Washington for all he has done. You are definitely a true example of someone operating in their gift and serving God's people while spreading the good news in multiple ways. And next week, I will be joined by Shante Page. This girl, she's moving, y'all. She went, whatever she puts her mind to, she achieves. Definitely going to be an episode you don't want to miss. She's actually worked alongside some amazing people. And one of those amazing people is Mr. Tyler Perry in the TV and film industry. And that's all I'm going to say for now. Yeah. So y'all have a blessed week. Invest in yourself and become the best version of yourself.